All right, guys, welcome to the Media Hijack Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Walters, and joining me is Chris Unholy Jesus.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everyone. We are back.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Media Hijack, episode 144.
Let's go.
Before we start, if you guys want to purchase some official Media Hijack t-shirts, Chris, he has his on today.
Yes, I put on my suit and tie today.
There he is. Sweet Jesus, Chris Unholy. You guys can head over to themediahijack.com, grab you an official t-shirt. Also, if you guys want to visit us on Reddit, you guys can join our Reddit community, post whatever you guys want. And if you want to catch the replay for this live Twitch video, you can head over to our YouTube channel. And don't forget, those audio listeners, don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe. Give us that 5 stars. And yeah, that's it for that.
Yes, sir.
That's how you do, like, house cleaning. That's what they call it.
House cleaning? What do you mean?
Like, you know, like, get all your...
Oh, God, shit, all your spring cleaning shit, yeah, in order?
Like, get all the shit out of the way, and then we can start the show.
Let's go.
What's up, Bro Jam? He says, what's the program you use to record? We use OBS. I forgot what it stands for, but OBS is both on Mac and PC, so...
Yes. Which, I know.
And it's free.
Yes.
All right, so, main topic for the night. First topic for the night, we're going to be talking about the elevator game. Mm-hmm. Which is based, like, in Korea. It started out in Korea.
Okay.
And then I'm going to talk about Tomino's Hell. It's like this Japanese poem.
Oh, my God.
It's like a Japanese poem that was written, like, a long time ago. And they said that whoever reads this poem is basically cursed.
Oh.
Like, it has, like, some ties to it because the poem is so dark.
So whoever reads it, they done.
Basically cursed.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I've heard this one. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's called Tomino's Hell. I'm like, damn.
Because
There's this one time I was listening to a podcast, right? And then the guy was like, all right, we got a priest here that's done like over 200 exorcisms. I was like, God damn. Is he okay?
Pristine. For real.
Yeah. And then he was like, and we're going to be playing a bunch of recordings from his sessions with doing these exorcisms. But he was like, but before we start, we're going to have... our priest do a blessing live here on the podcast just to protect you guys, because what you guys are about to hear, you know, it might be a bit disturbing, like on the soul or whatever. That's why it's like, we're gonna protect you, don't worry, you can still listen to the podcast. We're gonna have our priest out here do their prayer. And then right when I heard that, I cut that shit off.
Oh, for real? I would do the opposite.
I'm done with this episode.
I would have turned up the volume. I'm like, I'm here. Let's go. Like,
say no more. If a priest got to bless us through the podcast, I was like,
should I really be listening?
Yeah, I was like, no, man. I'm not.
I would have did it, man.
I'm not trying to hear these demonic beings, like, you know, and then... Well, let's say I didn't get protected. Like, I heard half the prayer.
Yeah. You paused it at one point. Yeah,
I'm like blocked halfway and shit. Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, no. This ain't no fucking, no.
Yeah, you get, like, blessed halfway. Like, the demons show up at your house, but they can't touch you. But they just hang out in the corner and watch you.
Yeah.
But they can't touch you. They can't touch.
I don't know, man. They be touching, though. Yeah. Well, what stories you got?
I was gonna do the Russian sleep, experiment, which is a popular creepypasta story. Even though it's fictional, though, I think a lot of these stuff, especially stories like this, really tied together into the real world. And I'm just talk about a type of weird experiments going on in the 1940s altogether.
The Russian sleep experiment.
Yes,
sounds pretty crazy.
Yes, sir. And then, not really a creepypasta story or anything scary at all, but I was going to talk about this Prince Harry story about how he takes psychedelics. I'm very surprised about this. This man is becoming more human every time he opens up his mouth now.
He's a real ass dude.
He's a real guy now. I'm convinced he's a real boy. Unlike his brother and the rest of his family. He's like the one that stands out the most to me now.
He needs help just like everybody else. You know,
like we all do.
And then, like, when you were telling me that earlier, you said, Prince Harry was, getting into psychedelics to heal his trauma. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
So he probably already, like, went through a whole bunch of therapy throughout his whole life.
And didn't help.
Didn't help him.
Because he's royalty. He got all the money for therapy, but it was never...
It wasn't enough. It didn't hit that spot. Like, he got that...
He's like, it's within. I need to find out what's wrong with me within. I have to do it.
He went all the way through court to a little tiny Prince Harry seed.
Basically to the point where it's an essential part of his life. But it's a short article I was going to read over right quick. Not at the moment, but later.
Yeah. Rojan says he was talking about Elisa Lam footage. She played in an elevator. What's crazy, we actually did a full episode on the Elisa Lam.
We did.
Episode.
It's one of our, it's in the Disney vault. No, actually it's not. It's actually, we still got it on the, we still got it up somewhere.
So we're going to touch on just her a little bit, but then we're just going to talk about like the elevator game.
Yes, sir.
I have another game too. It's called the Midnight Game.
Alright.
Yeah, it's where they conjure some demon and shit, and then you gotta survive before 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds, I don't know. I've heard of that before.
Yeah, these kids be, I don't know, they're making up all these games or shit, or I don't know. They're just,
are these like new games? This had to be like old games too.
ChatGPT told me about it. I was like, I've never heard of this, ChatGPT.
He's like, you do now, you're welcome.
Alright, so let's get started.
Alright,
so the elevator game, also known as the elevator ritual or the Korean elevator. It's like a paranormal game that originated on the internet. It involves using an elevator to travel to other dimensions or parallel realities. The game is said to have originated in Korea, but it's since it's spread throughout parts of the world because you know how the internet goes. Something goes viral, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, for real.
So according to the rules of the game, the player must enter an elevator alone and then travel to different floors in like specific sequence while performing certain actions such as pressing buttons in particular order and talking to spirits.
Uh-oh.
I was looking up some videos on YouTube to see if anybody did it. Of course they did it. there's like a sequence. One of the sequence was like, they're saying like once you get to like the fifth floor, a girl will come in the elevator.
Oh man, no.
And the guys that are doing these experiment, right? They recorded everything on the GoPro. Like they put the GoPro like in the side of the elevator.
Right.
And then he did all the sequence and then they're like, all right, we're about to hit the fifth floor. Dude, right when they hit the fifth floor, there was like a girl that came in the elevator. But it's like a regular girl.
Oh.
But wouldn't you be freaked out if you saw that? You're like, holy shit, it's happening. Man,
I would have kicked her in the chest. She would have went out the elevator and be like, press the elevator button, close.
Yeah. So like if the player followed the rules correctly, they're supposed to arrive like in a different dimension or a parallel universe. The crazy thing like about like this whole story, like of course they're going to say like it's fake, but there's actually one story. That's not the Elisa Lam one, but there's another story of this mom and her daughter that actually played the elevator game.
What?
And even caught on footage, like they completely disappeared. Even when they left like the elevator, they could only go two ways, left or right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were never seen on camera. So they basically disappeared. And they're like, but if you look at the camera, you can tell they're playing the elevator game because they're doing stuff in sequence.
They're not going to like a specific floor and then getting off. Yeah. It's
Yeah, so they went missing. And then the cops are like, hey, you guys just don't play because we don't know. Maybe they did went to another reality, but we can't confirm it. Because
cops are like, look, we can solve mysteries. We got DNA samples, all the stuff. We can figure out all the stuff. The supernatural, no. And if we can't figure it out, don't do it because then we can't find you.
Yeah, I mean, because come on, like they probably got one of those sniffing dogs to sniff their clothes.
Yeah, for sure.
Dog lost the scent right after they left the elevator.
He's like, oh, they ain't here no more.
So I was like, huh? No, they gone. Like,
no, they're in the Dimension X now.
I still get a snack, though. It's like, where's that snack, though, you know?
He promised me a Scooby snack.
Like, you did your thing.
The dog was like, you brought me all the way. The dog was probably like, you brought me all the way over here for what?
I was like, that was easy.
Are we done?
He was like, done? What? That was a fast shift. But yeah, like, okay, so, however, like, if you do make a mistake as you're trying to follow the rules precisely, they say you can actually become trapped in the elevator, and then you will encounter, like evil spirits. But I don't know. That's just maybe they're just adding that to make it extra spicy.
Would you ever try it?
Yeah.
We would try this? I wouldn't.
Where the Ouija board at? I'll do it.
Oh, really?
No, I wouldn't try it.
Well, first of all, I don't like elevators, so that's no... off top. Did I take the steps?
That's about it. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I usually take the stairs all the time.
Hey man, get that cardio in, folks.
Yeah.
Especially in the building I work in, but that shit breaks down all the time. So I have a thing with elevators now. I'm good.
Yeah, the elevators like at the train station break down all the time.
Yeah, I bet, man.
I remember one time I was walking, right? I was looking at the elevator and this dude was just banging on there. It's early in the morning, like 6 a.m. He was like, hey, I'm trapped here like since last night at like 10 p.m.
What?
I was like, oh, shit. All right.
Let me
call somebody. Help you out. Like, the dude was like almost like naked, too.
You got there like that morning and then he was in there that night?
He was still in there the whole time. And nobody called. No, nothing.
Was he homeless?
he looked homeless, but then he said he was a basketball player.
Okay, so he was homeless. All right. Say no more.
Yeah, I used to play for the Knicks.
Man, no. Man, was the NBA. Shit. How you think I'm in this elevator?
Like, you tall, but not that tall. Like, you probably look like the smallest guy on court. Like, even though like he was tall, I was like, not that tall, man.
What are you, Muggsy Bogues? Actually, yeah. No, he was short.
It's probably like the same height as like, what's his name? Steph Curry. How tall is he? Tall, right? It's like over 6. But he looks small on the court.
Yeah, compared to everybody else. Compared to like LeBron and shit, yeah. LeBron's like a behemoth.
Steph is actually really tall, right?
Yeah, it's probably more taller than an average person.
Yeah. Alexa, how tall is Steph Curry?
Stephen Curry is 6'3"
tall. Yeah, see? He is taller than the average person. Yeah.
But he's tiny compared to the rest.
He's tiny like on TV. But this dude in the elevator is probably like 6'3".
Damn. Yeah. Man, I was an NBA. No, you weren't. But first of all, what's that got to do with you being stuck on the elevator?
It's like, first of all, where's your shoes at?
So I left them in the gym. My bad.
Where are your shoes at? Yeah. I didn't say that. I mean, I'm not trying to get slapped.
He should have been like, don't you know every great basketball player walks around barefoot? Shit, you normies. See, y'all don't know nothing about that.
Just dunk on me. Well, like an important note about like this whole game is that the game is not based on anything with scientific evidence or fact. It's just a myth, an urban legend. But then it says playing the game could potentially be dangerous.
Oh, no.
That's funny, right? Like, to say, like, yeah, it's just a myth. It's considered urban legend. But it's considered dangerous.
Hold up.
And it's not recommended to do it. Mm. I'm like, okay, what?
So can we or can we?
So is it real?
Y'all got to tell me which way I can go on this.
If it's not real, then like, I don't see no harm in pushing buttons in sequence.
Unless y'all scared.
Yeah. And, I don't know. Like, it's really popular in Korea. I'm pretty sure after it got really popular, people in Japan were doing it. But here's like the thing, like with the story, people were saying that Elisa Lam, the Asian girl, that went to the Cecil Hotel, they said she was playing the elevator game. But I watched that footage and we watched it. It doesn't look like she's playing the elevator game. It looked like she actually went through something.
Like really, she's running from something for real. Yeah. That's just horrifying.
She was like a college student and she just needed a place to stay. I don't think she have time to play an elevator game. No. So we can throw that little theory out the water.
Yeah, I mean, because...
like, she literally in the water, though, but...
Yeah, right. Sorry, guys, for that dark joke. No, but she... weird shit of where... Yeah, she clearly, like, she's running for something, because I remember in the video, she kept, like, peeking off the elevator, too, like, around the corners.
I was like, ain't no crackhead over there. Mm-mm. Ghost crackhead.
Maybe. I'm like this, though. If you living out of a hotel, you struggling. That's just... bottom lines. I think she was living out of Cecil Hotel, and I remember watching a video saying that eyewitnesses saw her, like, yeah, she was coming and going and doing everyday life. And of course, usually when people go missing or die or something weird happens with them, the usual narrative of a lot of folks around them are, man, they seem like it was normal to me, which is what some people were saying with her.
I think like anything like at that time with Cecil Hotel would have been normal, because wasn't that one serial killer, like, after he done got killing people, he just walked back to his room in the Cecil Hotel, like, drenched in blood.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, and that shit just flies under the radar because so much fucked up shit happened, like, in the area with Cecil Hotel. That's basically Skid Row.
Yeah, straight up.
And shit, awesome. Skid Row is like his own country.
Man, his own shit. I've been watching YouTube videos about it. It's
his own reality, yeah.
Well, it's a whole ecosystem going on, man.
Yeah. Road Jam says American Horror Story Hotel was inspired by the Cecil Hotel.
I haven't watched that season, but I did hear that was inspired by Cecil Hotel.
Yeah. Elisa Lam, she was she was on vacation in Canada. Oh, maybe she was just trying to get away for a bit.
Yeah, that's right. She had family in Canada.
Yeah, I think she just wanted to like get a getaway and do like a solo trip. Then she accidentally booked like the most notorious, like,
let me get some cheap,
weirdest Cecil Hotel, like the nastiest one.
She's like, oh, let me get something cheap and save some money, man. Because Cecil Hotel, like. From one of the stuff I was even looking up about it, I heard they actually cleaned up their act now and try to rebrand itself, because it got closed down at one point and then it reopened, trying to, like, you know, hey, this is the new Cecil Hotel, folks. We're kid friendly. But before all that shit,
it's like urban and modern now.
Yeah, so they try to modernize it now and try to make, because they're trying to save the business, because it's going down. But it seemed like for what I was reading before, like a while ago, it seemed like people getting murdered in there or junkies being in there, and that place is a mess. Which is surprising for a hotel. That's usually like you see shit like that in a motel, not in a hotel.
I've never knew the difference between a motel and hotel.
Motels are like usually, I might be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, usually no bigger than two floors, but they're like flats. Elevator, like at hotels, we have like elevators and all this stuff. Like, I think more of like a high rise type building would be considered a hotel versus.
Oh, yeah, motel does.
Motels usually like flat more, like, you know. And usually off
but
the street,
it'd be like
the highway.
No difference, like with the room, or motels would be considered like just like a lower grade of a hotel.
Like lower grade, I guess. Like, and when you can pay rent,
they don't have paintings on the wall.
No paintings, maybe.
It's just for sleep.
And pubic hair in the bed. Motels, I've stayed in motels before. They kind of are seedy. I ain't gonna lie. Especially if you stay off one right off the highway. That's where you get all that traffic. All that. I got some in my area. Got some motels right off the exit. You're like, oh, man. You're
trying to hit.
Yeah, man. Hey, you want some of this, baby? Where you going, big man? You want to come over here? You looking for a good time?
Like, how much?
Hey, you're not a cop, are you? You know you got to tell me if you're a cop.
It's illegal.
If you don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Tell me the truth.
I know my rights.
I study law on YouTube.
I went to YouTube University.
But yeah, that's basically the elevator game.
Right, man.
They're doing stuff in sequence, and then they're just trying to hit that next reality, man. And I know there's a lot of TV shows and movies based on just the elevator game, period, because it got so much popularity. Mm-hmm. Like the whole idea of like being in the elevator and then leaving and then being in another dimension, it's intriguing.
You ever seen that movie? I think it's called Devil.
I've heard about that. It's probably based on the same thing too.
Yeah, I always wonder if it was, but it's like this.
The whole movie's in the elevator, right?
Yeah, it's like five random people, or six random people, whatever how many it is. They all get on the elevator, and they don't know each other, but all connected through some kind of way. But some people represent like certain like sins, like greed and all this other shit. But somebody on the elevator is the devil, and is knocking off everybody. And
it's like every time like the lights go out,
somebody's dead. Yeah. It's like an old school movie from like the 30s or 40s where it's like a murder mystery in the house. Lights go off. Lights come back on. Somebody's like hanging from the ceiling with a rope around their neck. It's like, who did it? It's kind of like that. So, I don't know. It's M. Night Shyamalan. You know, I kind of like him. So,
he's cool.
Yeah. Right.
He got good commercials. I know that.
Right? He do commercials?
No, I'm saying like every time he releases a movie, the commercial always sells the movie.
Oh, straight up, man. Every time. Yeah.
No matter how bad the movie is.
No matter how bad.
The commercial is top quality.
I'm like, damn. I was like, I know this shit going to probably suck, but... I'll be there.
The suspense in the commercial. I was like, you gotta have a special skill to like promote something like that.
I heard the last one you just did was good.
What is it called?
I can't remember the name of it, but it got Batista in it.
Damn.
And I like Batista. I think he's a good actor. I hope he goes places. Like really, really good actor. Him and John Cena, I actually kind of like him as an actor too.
I think they're both good. I like Batista. He can really act different. Yeah. I can see him in the funny role or then in a serious role.
Yeah, you can do both, man.
I was like, damn.
And I can actually buy him into like another character. I like The Rock, even though he's lovable and stuff. I see The Rock as The Rock and everything.
Yeah, to me, The Rock is in too much stuff.
Yeah, man. I once saw Black Adam. I was like, damn, I don't feel the same about The Rock anymore. It was
like,
weird.
How cool are you with China? Like, you that tight with China? You get every single role you want?
Yeah. Did they cool with you like that?
Oh, they like you like that? What'd you be doing, man?
It's a red flag, brother.
he's in every single, like, if he wants a role, he got that shit.
The Rock is so weird so much that sometimes I check my driver's license just to be sure he's not on that shit. He is everywhere.
Yeah.
I can't get away from him. I went saw Black Adam back in October, and I left the movie theater like, man, am I getting tired of superhero movies, or is this just The Rock? I don't know.
I didn't really like that movie.
I didn't care too much for it either.
It didn't really got that.
I think Black Panther did it better, and not because he was black, but I do like the lure of like an actual mineral being the reason why they was able to cultivate a society around it. Where Black Adam was like, okay, I don't know. They had some plot going on, and they had some type of mineral that's supposed to be like vibranium, but it wasn't as cool. So, yeah, whatever.
All right, so that's that story.
Yeah.
I got to take a leak real quick. We'll be right back with the next story. Prince Harry, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, be right back. We're back with Chris Unholy for the next story for the night.
Let's go. Damn, I think that camera's strong as shit. All right. Thought I'd chip my fingernail open that shit.
Damn.
Strong ass game.
Brittle nails.
Brittle. Your nails are brittle.
The brittle nails.
Damn. All right, guys. So next topic for tonight, we're going to talk about the Russian sleep experiment. So people who are familiar with this will know this is a creepypasta story. And people who aren't, just get ready. I'm going to keep it short, too. A lot of stuff I'm probably going to leave about, a lot of little stuff here and there. But I'm going to just give a general idea of what the story is.
Okay.
Sorry. So Russian researchers back in the late 1940s kept five people awake for 15 days using an experimental gas based on a stimulant. They were kept in a sealed environment to carefully monitor the oxygen intake so the gas didn't kill them. Since it was toxic in high concentrations, this is before closed circuit cameras, so they only had microphones inside the room itself to monitor what was going on. I think they had a 5-inch glass window up as well to also monitor as well, but mainly they just did through microphones they could hear and have conversations.
So,
with them.
Were these people, were they soldiers for Russia?
No, they weren't Russian soldiers. They were actually just prisoners of war during World War II. Oh. So anybody who knows about the history of World War II, I'm not really a super duper expert, but Russia was on the side of Germany during World War II at one point until Germany decided to go after Russia and turn on them. And I'm not sure what year that was, but that's why Russia started going after Germany as well too. Mm. So Russia was with them at first, and they was like, oh shit, they trying to go after us. Because I think they went for Stalingrad, which is their old school capital. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took over Stalingrad, and that's when all hell broke loose with Russia.
Hey, we actually don't really like you guys.
You know what? We're going to take over your territory. Because I know, if I'm not mistaken, Germany started if we take over, then they're probably the next people that's going to be our next competition. So,
yeah, because I think they were the next best thing, huh?
Yeah, well, Russia, even to this day, Russia's never been exactly a powerhouse military-wise. They just had the numbers. Mm. They lost, I think, the most people in World War II overall. Because
they
just
didn't give a fuck.
They was like, yo, just throw people out there.
Get in there.
There was a movie I watched a long time ago. It's called Enemy... No, it's Enemy at the Gates? I think it's called Enemy at the Gates, right? Really good sniper movie, but it's about Russian soldiers in World War II and how it was, they would pair up two, Russian soldiers together. One would have a gun, empty, no bullets in it. The other one would have, bullets. And whoever got killed first, you got to take the one from the other and then use it because they was, low on, bullets and ammunition. Mm. So you got to be buddy-buddy, partner up with somebody, and whoever dies, you got to take their shit. So if you got the bullets, somebody has a gun, partner with the gun dies, yo, you gotta take his gun, use the bullets, vice versa. So it was, they just throwing motherfuckers at
them. That's so crazy.
Crazy shit, man. It's like, yo, we can't afford guns, so you gotta buddy up and share. Whoever dies,
they don't give a fuck, at all.
You gotta fight for Mother Russia. Man,
I
was about to even use bears yet in war. You know what I'm saying?
I think because, I don't know. I don't think during a situation where you're put under a lot of pressure, I don't think bears can perform.
Oh, the loud noises. Bears don't like loud noises. That's their biggest weapon against them.
Yeah.
Loudness. I've learned that a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't think they would fit in war times.
That's why you get muffins for bears so they can't hear the noise. And
but dolphins, on the other hand?
Oh, man. Shit. Dolphins. If dolphins had thumbs, it's over. It was a wrap.
Well, I think maybe.
They're too smart.
Well, remember we were talking about how dolphins were actually used as secret agents underwater.
Yes.
They fucking put computers attached to these dolphins.
Yes.
With all these devices. They're the ultimate spying machine.
Yes. That's actually one of our bigger videos on TikTok.
Really? The dolphin one?
That's the one. It's one of our most popular ones.
Hey, those dolphins.
It shocked a lot of people. But they spies? But it made sense.
Yeah. They're so smart. Dolphins, their frontal, the frontal cortex of their brain. It's
is it massive?
3 or 5 times bigger than us, right? And their thing is their sonar technology that's naturally built in the dolphin's head is way better than any sonar technology that we have.
Damn.
And they're natural too.
And that's the natural. They're born
natural.
With it.
Yeah, that's pure intelligence right there.
Yeah, imagine nobody can sneak up on you. You because sonar is 360. You just actually not even 360. What would be the 360 would be going, that would be 360, right? All around, in every angle, no matter what. You would catch anything.
Dolby
so.
Albums.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Exactly. That's the best way to put it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You hear everything. You hear Nemo clocking in.
You're like, oh, I just heard a fish sneeze. Where's that?
Where that salmon at? Is salmon freshwater?
I don't know. Oh. I just eat it.
I don't care where you swim.
I just throw that shit in my
mouth.
I just throw that shit in my air fryer and let it go.
Damn. Get in there, SeaWorld.
All right, back to this. All right, so the rest of the research. Okay, so what was that? This is before closed circuit cameras. So they had to use microphones and 5-inch thick glass porthole size, and basically just monitor them through this window and through the microphone. The chambers were stocked with boots, cots to sleep on, but no bedding, running water and toilets, and enough dried food to last them for over a month. And so for like all the 5 guys in there. And all like we were talking about before, actually all the test subjects were actually like political soldiers. Now, what they were, don't know. I'm assuming they're probably German, but they threw them in there. And then what they did was like they threw them into this room and they promised them like, hey, German soldiers, we are, you know what? We're just going to try this experiment out on you for 15 days. And if you guys can make it through that time frame, we will give you guys your freedom. We'll let you guys go.
Wow.
And you'll be free. But it was never meant to be released at all. At all, in any type of way. They just want to run an experiment on them to see, hey, what happens to a human body without sleep deprivation.
So this is like an experiment where they don't even have like an idea of what's going to happen. They just wanted to try it out.
Let's push the body to its limit. Let's see how fast a human loses his damn mind.
That would be sleep. Like one thing humans would study.
Oh, for like, sure. That's actually like a real torture thing. Like, for example, like in Guantanamo Bay, which is a huge prison detainee camp. They do like all types of weird experiments, like on people. For example, I think they feed them, like they have them tied upside down and they'll put a tube up their butt and they'll just like pour some type of, it's not like really, it's not hard food, but it's just like slosh food. They pour it down like in a hole and basically they're trying to feed them in reverse.
Damn.
Yeah. They do like weird shit at Guantanamo Bay, man. And one of them is like sleep deprivation where they just play music over the speaker to keep everybody awake for hours on end. And
I would imagine that's like a similar experiment to the Russian sleep one.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep them up the whole time.
Yeah. And cause look, they say that when you lack sleep, you're more suggestible to being like honest or just kind of like, you know, your willpower is gone the more tired you are. So if you would ask you questions, you're going to be more honest with them and work with them a little bit better versus being wide awake and having energy because you're more you're more resistant. So
like, so Chris Jesus, like 48 hours later, where is the Holy Grail? Up your ass, pal.
It's like,
he still got jokes after 15 days.
What is this monster?
What is he made of? Like, we can't break him. He's like one of those true, the most loyal to his religion.
So he's really down for the cause. He wouldn't give up for shit.
Yeah, you'll never find out.
And it says everything was fine for the first 5 days, right? And the subjects hardly complained, and they had promises of being set free. And then, they were submitted to the test and did not sleep for 30 days.
Damn.
That's death, dude. I think right now on record, the longest...
I could barely do 2 days.
The longest I've ever stayed was 3.
Damn. Britney Spears.
I felt it, man. I felt every bit of it. And it was in the process of me trying to move. And I didn't have vacation days. This is way back when I was in the military. I had no vacation days left to even take time off the move. But I had to move because my lease was up by the end of the week.
Shit.
So I had to move during the daytime. And by the time I was done like moving throughout that day, I was like, damn, I gotta go to work now. So I go to work, stay up for 12 hours.
Damn.
Come back. And then I did that shit for like 3 days. And I was helping 2 other people move too because we was all moving in the same apartment.
What were you running on, man? Like, what
protein shake were you drinking? And I wasn't even drinking coffee at the time at all. I was going off of like sheer willpower and maybe, I don't know how to do it. Like, sheer willpower and Newport cigarettes, I don't know what was keeping me up back then, but that was holding me down, man. Mm-hmm. It was bad. Bad, bad. That's as long as I've stayed up. I'll never do it again.
That was horrible. Yeah, the body can't take that.
Because after I got done with that, after I finally moved, me and my friends finally moved into the apartment complex together, I slept for like 18 hours after that.
Shit.
I woke up, I was like, I went to bed when it was dark. And when I woke up, it was dark again. I was like confused.
I had that before.
Man, this is scary, right? Yeah. You're like, oh man, what the hell? And then, oh my God, I slept like 18 hours? But my body needed it, man. I missed the whole day.
Yeah, I remember like waking up and it was dark, but it was just a nap. I was like, but it felt like a full sleep.
So it was a good nap?
I woke up, it was like 8 o'clock at night. I was like, hey, did I miss something? why is it dark? I'm confused. Is the sun supposed to come up? Like, it's morning time, right?
Did the sun die?
I was like, it felt like I had 2 days. Mm. Like, I experienced 2 days. That's how I felt like. Because I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I'm off again.
What are we doing?
But I just took a nap that was just so good. It's like I went somewhere else for, like, for a long time.
Those are those good naps, man. You wake up, you be like, oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't mean to sleep this long, man.
But it's so hard for me to take a nap nowadays.
Oh, I can go to sleep anytime. I can go to sleep right now if I wanted to.
Damn, you're so lucky.
Like, if the camera's running, too, I can be like...
Dude, like, the other day, like...
I gotta sleep so quick.
The minute I tried to take a nap, fucking sleep paralysis kicks in.
Oh, you feel it as soon as you, like, doze off?
I feel, like, right away, almost instantly. And I'm like, man, I can't even take a nap.
Oh, they're like, you about to go sleep? You can't...
Get back here.
Gotta get you in the middle somewhere.
Grab you by the collar, like,
You can't be fully awake, but you can't be fully
asleep. You see that spaceship? So you're supposed to be going up there. Like, you got clock in now. Because here's the thing, like, what I heard. I've been reading, like, a lot of books on how, like, what happens to the consciousness, like, when you're asleep. They're saying, like, when you're asleep, the consciousness is going doing its business. Like, for example, if you were in, like, a grand council, like, above Earth, like, people that watches over Earth, you would actually go do your duties while you're asleep.
Okay, that's the real work.
That's the real work. It's like, while your body's resting, the real conscious within you is doing, like, work up there somewhere. Damn. Doing something.
Probably a welder.
Yeah, and I heard
some shit.
Yeah, the wild thing about that, to where I kind of believe it, because I heard, like, maybe three different authors of a book talking about that same thing. So I was like, there's something to this. That's why I was like, where do I be going when I get sleep paralysis all the time? Because they're saying, like, there's, like, another theory of when sleep paralysis happens, like, you're actually being caught in between that transition of your soul actually about to do something. Either about to do something or you're already done doing it, but then you caught yourself.
Okay.
Because things like, you know how time is different. It's like,
maybe dream, like, time is different, man.
Like a minute here or whatever, like a minute, like, in the other realm, you're, like, you're probably spending, like, a whole day.
I remember one time I fell asleep at work, like, by accident. Like, my brain just shut off because I was so tired. And I had a full-blown dream. And when I snapped out of it, only, like, maybe a couple minutes passed. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was
a full dream.
I just went through, like, a whole saga. I just went through a whole trilogy. It was like
season three.
It was only, like, several minutes. It was wild.
It's like, that was 5 minutes? Like, I went through a lifetime and shit.
That's like Inception, man. When they say, like, how time is different from... Dream time is different from, like, real world time, and things move way faster in a dream, and the real world just kind of moves at, like, a snail's pace, I guess.
Time is weird. That's one of the things that's weird, like, where you just...
I don't think time is even real anymore. I think that's something for, like, time is a man-made construct that we created to help us...
Measure something.
To be slaves and go to work. Yeah. But outside of it, it's like, what's the purpose of it?
Even, like, with numbers. We need numbers to measure shit, you know? I think humans are the only one that use... a number as a measurement of measuring something.
I wonder what
you think dogs use. Fucking, like, hey, the dog's like, hey, it's morning time. Like, no.
I think if on some dog, level, they're like, it's bright or whatever.
Yeah. Like, they don't understand. Run on, like, they don't even know the clock. They run on, like, whatever. Their life is...
I think they run off of, like, a food schedule. Like, when it's time for them to get up and go out or eat.
Yeah, or they run on, like, the human schedule to try to copy the humans.
Yeah, cats do the same thing, too. Once you get a routine down, animals are good with routines once you get them, like, on it. And then it's hard to get them off that shit once they on it. Because you can't talk to them. You just got to stop feeding them and change it up a little bit.
Tell me what's wrong. What do you like? What's going on, dog?
Rojam says, that's like boot camp, keeping you up for 2 days so you fall right into the pattern and form. Man, boot camp was so stressful. I didn't shit for 2 weeks. Your body changes.
Holy shit.
Because your body's, like, so alert. Because you're ready, like... Because you can be, like, doing something random, and your fucking TI, a drill instructor, whatever people want to call it, shows up out of nowhere. What the fuck are y'all doing? Oh, shit. Like, you're always on edge. Damn. But because, you know, even when I was sleeping, I was on edge. Because there were times where I'm sleeping in bed at boot camp, and the TI would come out like, yo, what the hell? Why is the bathroom not clean? And I was in charge of cleaning the bathrooms. I was one of the people in charge of cleaning the bathrooms. Mm. But it's like, you're always on edge because when you're sleeping, they wake up and they start going around checking your uniforms at night. And sometimes I woke up in bed and I see them going through people's lockers, looking at people's uniforms. And if it ain't right, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're like, oh, shit. So you're always on edge. So sleep the dead.
That's horrible.
It's like a psychological game, man.
Who wants to join the military?
It's hey, hey, look.
Like, hey, line up, man. Let us play some games, man. Like, come on, like, get us some PCs up in here. Man. Like, yeah, you know, like, let us wear some sweatpants.
Come on, please. Okay, so let's get back to this again. Says everything was fine for the first 5 days. Like I said, they went through 30 days of it, and the conversations and activities were monitored. It was noted that they continued to talk about increasingly traumatic incidences, and eventually the general tone of the conversations went darker throughout the days. So basically, they was monitoring them, like, okay, they sound normal, but as time went on, they started finding out, hey, man, these people might be losing their mind in here. Eventually, they stopped responding.
So they started getting, like, paranoid?
Paranoia
kicks in?
Well, what they were trying to do, too, when it was inside the cell, they would communicate through the microphone to the people that were watching them. And they know the people that were watching them started noticing, like, hey, they're trying to, like, get us to come into the room. Like, every time we talk to them, they're not responding. But they're using the mic to talk to back to us. Like, they're trying to get us into the room. Like, they're trying to jump us. And so we can't go in the room.
Like, should we go check on them?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, no, let them ride it out. Let's see what happens. And so after this whole time, they wound up going in there, and they found out that these guys completely lost their damn mind. And as the story goes, is that they saw, like, bits and pieces of body parts torn off, and they start cannibalizing themselves and I think possibly each other. Just completely lost their mind.
So now, they all died.
I think five died throughout the process, and then several more died after the fact because they had, like, tears off their skin. They were, like, tearing off parts of their skin and eating it. And when they was putting them in, like, an intensive care, they basically just kept them in bed. And one of those military generals or officers or whatever within the Russian army, because the guys after they took them out the room, they were, like, in a hospital bed screaming, like, yo, like, I want them more of that gas. I want more of that gas. Like, yo, let me get some more of it. And they was, like, getting violent. And one of the officers was like, shit, man, if they want it, they'll give them more gas, man, because they're trying to kill us if we don't give it to them. Because I think it sounds like to me they got addicted to it. And so they're like, let's throw them back in the room. But then one of the doctors in the room was like, oh, man, fuck this. They start shooting the damn.
What?
Yeah,
so that's how they died?
Just smoked them. Yeah, he's like, yo.
So, like, this is too crazy.
Which is pretty unethical for a doctor to do, but it was like, yo, this is too much. We making them suffer. Mm. So he put them out their misery.
So, like, this story, right? Like, you're saying it came probably from, like, a creepypasta story?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a creepypasta story. And
so, this, officially, this story is not actually real.
It's not actually real. It's actually a fictitious story. There was stuff I was even looking up to see if anything about the story was real. And, like, the gas is probably not even a real thing from what I found out.
Right.
Because there's no gas that would actually keep somebody up that long. But there are actually real drugs. That we know of, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking about, and they also, like, some of the stuff I looked up too, saying that if people were to be going through exhaustion, they wouldn't have the strength to eat off their skin. They would be just, maybe, like, at best, they would be hallucinating and slowly dying. I remember back when I had sleeping issues years ago, back when I was in Iraq, I had sleeping issues and I took Ambien. But I couldn't go to sleep because I was always on edge. And so I went to the little medical place. It was like, yo, I was like, I can't sleep. Here's some Ambien. I'm like, bet. And I wound up taking, like, Ambien. And I had a friend of mine tell me, like, yo, if you take Ambien, don't go to sleep right away. You're going to see some wild shit. Because Ambien makes you, like...
That's, like, the worst thing you can tell somebody.
I did it, though. I did it. I was like, word?
Yeah, at that age, like, mid-20s, right?
I was 21.
Yeah. If you were to told me that, too, I would have been like...
Fuck it.
Yeah, let me find out, too. Because that's, like, at the phase where you're growing up. You want to experience, like, whatever. So if somebody were to tell me that, I probably would have done the same thing.
Nah, not 30s. Nah, man, my back might be hurting in the morning. I gotta go to work. You're a little bit more responsible in your 30s. Most people are, I guess. I assume some people are, you know.
Yeah, but that really is bad advice.
It's horrible advice.
Yeah, if you take but it, I did it. Make sure you're in bed and
go to sleep, man.
Go to sleep. Take your ass to sleep because you really do stuff that you don't even remember.
Man, I remember when I first got it and they were like, hey, are you planning to drive anything? You driving tonight or anything? And I was like, no. I was like, do not take this while operating know, you see some medications like, don't operate a vehicle, don't do this, this, and this. Yeah, whatever. Ambien is one of them things you really don't need to be doing anything when you take it. You need to be, your ass needs to be in bed.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to hallucinate. Just last year, the year before.
Like, not only like hallucinate, you would do like stuff where you're doing stuff physically.
Yeah, and
you don't even have no clue what happened
at all. Just like last year,
I have one story too. When you're done,
I think it was either last year or the year before. There was like this guy. I think he was like a pastor or something. He was like on an airplane and he took Ambien while he was on the plane. And he like, you know, he had some little bit of liquor with his Ambien. And he actually like, while I'm getting out of the seat, pulled his pants down and whipped his dick out.
Damn.
And started peeing on this chick on the airplane.
Damn.
And they like beat his ass. And they, well, they didn't beat his ass, but they took him down and all that. And come to find out, he's like, yo, I had Ambien and I drank. Because drinking Ambien with like
and alcohol. And they dismiss everything.
Dude, he, he doesn't remember any of that stuff too. None of it.
After all that crazy shit he did, they're like, I was on Ambien. Oh, okay. You should have said that.
And the girl was like,
just wipe your head off.
And the girl that happened to her was like so traumatized too. I felt bad for her. She was like, I remember she was like, did a, like a small interview. They didn't show her face, but she was like crying through the interview. Like, you just like start peeing on me. And I felt bad for her.
What they call that? A golden shower?
A golden shower. I didn't want to get R. Kelly on United Airlines. Jesus. On Spirit? Yeah,
there's like a
Spirit
Airlines. There's like this other story where this guy, he took Ambien, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go to sleep, but he made like a full Thanksgiving dinner. Like he had,
oh my God.
He had the ingredients to make the turkey, the stuffing, the mash, the macaroni. Like he made a full Thanksgiving dinner, right? All plated it like perfectly, like on the table, right?
Yeah.
But then he actually fell asleep. But then he woke up. He saw that dude. First thing he did, he grabbed his shotgun because he was like, "Who broke in my house?"
And made me dinner.
And made dinner. You know, he freaked out. And then they're like, "Dude, you cooked all
it
that."
It was you, James.
It was you.
It was you all along.
It was you
made the stuffing, the cranberry.
Big J, you made it all.
You even made the biscuits.
With love.
We even took a photo together. Like, you don't remember that shit? And he's like smiling and like.
In our holiday sweaters. This is you. You made everything. And then he invited everybody.
He invited all of us and everything.
So he woke up and then he thought like somebody had broken his house and just made dinner.
Damn. Yeah. Actually, you know what? In real life, he's probably like a lazy piece of shit, but the Ambien like made him work.
Yeah, it turned him into like a fucking
fucking Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. I was gonna say that. Road Jam says you're gonna hallucinate whether you take Ambien or lose sleep.
That's true.
I remember one time I took it, right?
That is true.
And the last time I ever took it again. Because those motherfuckers, they recorded me.
Oh, no.
Like my sister and Jeremy recorded me, right? But I was doing like, I didn't know what I was doing because I didn't make it to my bed. I was actually trying to crawl to the bed. I was like, because once you take Ambien, you got to time that shit, right?
Got to, man.
You got to do all your things and you got to make sure you're in bed. Me, I timed it wrong. And I was halfway like from, you know, like the stairs to my bed. And I was literally like crawling on my elbows trying to make it because I felt like my whole body became like a brick.
Oh, got too heavy.
I was like slowly crawling. I was like, I can't make it to the bed.
I'm going to go to this floor.
I can't make it to the bed. And then I forget everything. I forget everything, right? And then I woke up the next morning. They showed me a recording of me. They said what I did was so wild. They said I took like some marijuana, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know where the marijuana came from. But they said I was like smoking like marijuana inside the house. Like, next to like Jace and shit. They're like, dude, you're like smoking weed like right next to Jace. Like,
you shotgun him.
Like, yeah, you were like, they showed me the video. I was like, oh my God. I was like, don't show me this video. I was like, delete that shit. And then, dude, I took all like the Ambien because my sister gave me these Ambien pills. I'm like, okay, cool for sleep.
Dude,
I took all that shit. I flushed all of it. I was like, never again.
That's the last, the trip out I had. That was the last time I took it too.
It's just too scary.
It's too much, yeah. Man.
Intrigue was good, dude.
Intrigue 90 says, it took one time and, I took it one time and thought I woke up on a football field being chased by a football team.
Damn.
Shit.
You're make exhausted.
You trip. you tired.
Yeah.
You tired. Intrigue 90, I know who that is. That's my girl. I see you.
Hey, what's good?
I see you in the chat. Stalking us.
Getting chased by the whole football team.
When I took it,
I remember the story, but go ahead.
Yes. This is horrifying. I took that shit. So I wound up taking it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to stay up. I waited back behind the dorms or whatever you call it when I was in Iraq. Went out back to go have a cigarette. There's like pallets. There's like rows of pallets out there. And we had it because in Iraq, when it rains a lot out there, especially during the winter. Like it was like the substitute for snow. It just rains a shit ton. And the mud out there, I probably one of the toughest mud on the face of God Green's Earth, God, on our whole planet. Cause like it's the mud is like the consistency is very like peanut butter like.
Ew.
So when you step in it, you're always pulling up mud in every step. You know, some mud here in America, you step in it, you can kind of like you tiptoe through it, not leave really.
But this shit is like sticking.
It just sticks. It is, and every time you step in it, it just builds up. It's just like more and more mud just stacks up on it. So that's why we like these pallets to walk on when we got to the dorms, because especially during like the rainy season, you would just see mud going down the hallway to the dorms. Like, you walking down the hallway in like slides, and this mud just smeared everywhere.
Looking like shit.
Looked like shit all over the place. And a lot of times it probably was, because there's a bunch of dudes in the dorms. And so, like, yeah, I was out back just having a cigarette, and then I looked down at one of the pallets, and there's like a baby's face carved into it. Just smiling.
This is like after you already took that.
After I already took it, because my friend gave me bad advice. Like, yo, you gotta see this shit. Stay up.
Whatever you do, stay up.
And so when I was looking at it, I saw the baby's face smiling, and then the pallets, the individual boards, flipped, and there's a baby's face, like, sad. It was carved into it. But it's like, all you saw was like rabbit teeth in the front of the baby's mouth. And it looked sad. And it kept all all the pallets, like the individual boards, started flipping and showing me like different baby facial expressions. I was like, oh my God. Oh God, if I went to bed so quick. I was like, I'm done with this shit. And then I just went to bed. Yeah, and
it's crazy
how slept so good.
Like, a drug like that is prescribed to people to sleep. And then if you make the mistake of actually like staying awake, and then on top of that, drinking alcohol too.
Oh man, that's even worse.
That's your whole career, man.
Alcohol's bad with weed. That's already a sign right there.
Look at Roseanne. What happened to Roseanne? Hey, I was drinking wine and Ambien. My bad. She got all racist and shit.
And I made you cookies. Like, okay.
Yeah. Roll Jam says, my grandma fell into a wall. She was all right.
Sorry, dude. That's good. I'm glad you're all right.
Says Ambien is more uncontrollable than mushrooms.
I agree, man. Ambien is like way more out of control, man. And when I was in Iraq, they would just hand them out like cookies, because a lot of us was getting like worried sick and shit, and they just handed us Ambien to keep us up.
To me, mushrooms is controllable. All you gotta do is just open your eyes,
basically. And trust the people around you. Be with somebody you trust, too.
Yeah. Well, my personal experience, like, I always have myself under control when I'm on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, I've never felt out of control. I felt out of control was on acid.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I've never taken it, but
that's definitely a roller coaster. That's, if you don't have a babysitter, you're in for a scary fucking trip, dude. Like, it's so scary. Like, that's why, like, when I, even though my acid experience was probably one of the most life-changing ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of the most greatest experiences I ever had on psychedelics. I would not recommend that for anybody. Because as soon as I got out, even though how great it ended, like, the initial startup of, like, the trip was probably, like, the most scariest thing I ever seen.
Was it like going into, like,
and everything.
Was it like going into, like, a haunted house? Like,
it's like going through, like, your own life haunted house. Like, I saw me in another life, like, as a crackhead, too.
Oh, my God.
Smoking crack rocks, like, in the trash can.
Oh my God, it was New Jack City.
With a buddy, I was like, whoa, I was like, God, that life looks scary as fuck. And then I saw myself like as like a fisherman in Seattle shit.
Oh my
like
God.
Straight hipster mode. Yeah, it was like I went through all these different lives. I was
like the multiverse, man. You see different versions.
I was a crackhead, I was a fisherman, I was a fucking a guardian of Atlantis. I was everything, dude.
Shit.
I was like, damn. That's a wild life.
But the shrooms showed you that your true destiny was probably
shrooms is
the guardian of Atlantis, because this seems like a...
Maybe guardian of this world, though.
Yes. Guardian of Earth.
Might be guardian of this world. Who knows?
But yeah, that's it for that Russian sleep story, though. Russian sleep experiment. Not real, but I do believe that there's real-life sleep experiments done on people.
Yeah, even though like they say that story is not real, this is not like too far out from what they actually probably did do.
Man.
Like the Russians, Chinese, Americans, they were doing wild experiments.
Germany's most infamous.
Their own people. Like,
their own people too, yeah.
Like that one experiment like they did where, you know, they put everybody on like a really high dose of acid and see like how much can the human body take.
Oh, yeah. That's
a real experiment.
That's real shit, yeah.
Yeah. So if they did that, like this sleeping experiment, it's not far out there at all.
That's pretty normal compared to the shit we've seen.
Yeah, that's really normal compared to the real shit they actually did that was already declassified. And they're saying, oh, yeah, we did actually do these psychedelic experiments on, you know, these soldiers back then.
That's like the Nazis in World War II. They would do experiments on twins was a big thing. Twins and people with mental disorders, they would do experiments on. And they would do weird shit, like they would like inject a needle in like in in concentration camps, they would like grab whatever random Jewish person that was there. They would inject like a needle. They would put a needle in somebody's eye, and it would inject like iodine in it because they're trying to change. Yeah, trying to change the eye color, and it was blinding them and shit.
That's so stupid.
This is video. It's probably still on YouTube to this day. But there's like these five boys who were castrated. There was a concentration camp, but they were castrated, and it made their voices go really high pitch.
Like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like on that level. And they all, like, there's a video, I saw it on YouTube a long time ago. I don't know if it's still on there, but all five of the boys, they're like, the Nazis recorded them, and they all sang like some kind of like opera song together, and they all sound like females, because it did something to that testosterone level. And so it's like, they would just test, they did wild shit.
Yeah, I mean, like what I heard, that's what they did to Michael. I don't know how true it is. No, they said he was chemically castrated, so he can keep his high tones.
Did you ever hear like Michael Jackson's real voice?
It's deep, right?
Bang! He sound like a. Black. He sound black.
Ow!
Shamone.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I heard it was like, does an act sometimes too, but yeah. I did hear about the whole castration
thing. Either thing, yeah. I heard the chemical castration. Rojam says I probably had pesticide on mines. Oh, on your mushrooms?
Jesus.
You gotta get those natural, dude. But yeah, I gotta take a leak real quick. We come back. I'm gonna do another fun story.
All right.
Tamino's Hell. Be right back. And we're back. All right, so next story. You ever heard of Tamino's Hell?
Hell no.
All right, so Tamino's Hell is a poem written by Yomota Inuniko. Right. A Japanese writer in 1919, the poem is known for its eerie and unsettling content, and it has gained notoriety as being like one of like the most cursed poems. Uh-oh. The poem is said to be so terrifying that reading it out loud may bring misfortune, and it's believed that anyone who reads this poem will be cursed. The poem describes a man named Tomino, who was descended into hell, where he see various of like horrific images, or like a lot of demonic stuff, people being tortured and agony and all that, you know, whatever you can imagine was like worst thing you can actually see in hell and shit. The poem is describing all that, so like the poem, like, you know, it being like very like disturbing, like described like in words where you can actually visually see it in your head. Like the poem is just, it's just nasty. It's like, it's well written, but it's so nasty and like in the most gruesome way.
It sounds like what's that story? Dante's Inferno. Well, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but it's about a guy who goes through like all the nine circles of hell, but all the seven circles of hell. But either way, each circle that he goes through represents a seven deadly sin. So like lust would be like this monstrous like naked lady, but she's like all these creatures around her that are like aborted babies and stuff like that, like weird crazy shit like that, or just different like levels of hell that he would like go across, and he would be guided with the spirit to show him like, hey, this is all the levels of hell, and just basically like his tour guide through hell.
Yeah,
and I think I've heard different stories of maybe he would have been down there looking for his wife or some shit, but. Wow! So that's what it reminds me of hearing that, though, like Dante's Inferno type stuff.
Yeah, that's probably like really similar to that. So like this curse is like it's one of those poems where, like, it's hard to find, but it's actually, this poem is actually like translated in a whole bunch of different languages because people, they really want to read fucked up shit like that.
Hey, I would.
So they're like, I'd check it out. They're like, yeah, this poem is cursed. You should be scared. They're like, no. Where's this poem at? I want to read it.
Honestly, you know what? Let me take it back. I wouldn't read it. That's too much. I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't read it, but I have a treat for you guys. I actually found the poem, and I'm going to read it for you guys.
All of it?
I'm just playing. I don't have the poem. I couldn't find it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, let's buckle up, folks.
Even if I found it, I'd be like, I don't know. I couldn't muster it up to read the poem. I'm like, nah, could we read this outside and have the neighbors read it?
So it can be in their house?
Yeah, I was like, can somebody read this shit like a mile away or some shit?
You'd be like, Chris, you read it.
Yeah, and then just tell me what happened. But yeah, like even ChatGPT couldn't find me the poem. So I was like,
holy shit.
I was like, all right, is it guarded? Is it a guarded poem or some shit?
Yeah, is it like, do I have to go to like a location to get it? Like,
you probably gotta
Indiana Jones?
Go to like Tor and shit, sign in like some dark website.
I wouldn't surprise if Nazis found that shit. When he was running around, snatched up all the artifacts, yeah, and
they probably got the revised version,
right?
Yeah. So it should be noted that Tomino's Hell is a superstition that has no scientific basis. Like, of course, they're gonna say that.
Of course,
the poem itself is widely available online and has been translated into multiple languages. While the poem contain like unsettling content, they're saying that none of this is real, but you shouldn't do it, or you shouldn't read it.
So it is real.
Yeah, so I was like,
why y'all keep doing this? Playing games.
It contains, like, dangerous, like, you know, information, but more story, like, you shouldn't get into this.
It's like,
you shouldn't go out and read it. But, like, if you guys are listening, just look up Tomino's Hell, like, T-O-M-I-N-O-S.
Actually, I want to look that up, too.
Yeah, look up the poem and see if you can find the poem, but then just read it on your time. Chris, yeah.
Dang,
so if you find it, read it on your time.
As soon as I typed in Tomino, it was like, hell. Hell poem.
Say no more.
This is what you want, right?
Not even Tomino's restaurant.
Oh, it says the elder sister vomits blood, younger sister's breathing fire. Oh my God, this is already crazy. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, this picture's scary. Oh my God.
Let me see.
Look at this shit.
Oh my God.
It looks horrifying.
That looks real.
That looks like something out of a
Why did I look at that?
Oh my God.
Yeah. You might want to close that out. That looks real.
I think I just left some in here.
Yeah.
I can't tell if that's a real person. Oh, no. It's like a scarecrow type shit. See?
It still looks scary.
But it does look creepy. It does look creepy, though.
That looks scary as fuck, dude.
It's like a knife in the head.
What the fuck is... Dude.
Okay. I'll close this out, though. But Google saved it. I'll be back, Google.
Got chill in this room, huh?
I got cold. Actually, it's not being hot in here.
Temperature is 69 degrees. But yeah, like it's a curse poem. So if you guys are interested, search it and find the poem, read it, read it out loud.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna read it. Tell us over there what you think. Don't tell us.
Yeah, like to me, like I believe things into like a certain extent. But when it's like something where like I think like it could be something weird, I just don't fuck with it. Like I don't care if it's real or not. Like if it's to the point where I think like something could happen. Like, especially, like, Ouija boards, there's no way you'll ever catch me in this lifetime playing with a Ouija board. Like, I don't care. I don't care if it's real or fake. I'm not going to play with it.
I know. Like, I would. I've done it. I've messed with a Ouija board before.
Yeah.
Long time, though.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I actually wanted you to play one on Halloween.
Yeah, a long time ago. I remember that.
But doing through Zoom.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I can't
Or through
do that.
Discord. I was like, hey, you want to do like a Ouija board episode? And I'll be on the other line.
Do that shit at your place.
Make sure you use the white candles. Like, that's for like the good spirits.
Yeah.
Because what I heard is like if you use like certain candles, different colors.
Like red?
Yeah, like red would probably like promote like some demonic shit. But black is probably the darkest one. Mm. You probably catch up with some... Probably one of the darkest spirits.
Lucifer.
Yeah. This.
You get the boss.
You catch him up your ass at night.
Man, if you're going to do it, I say go big.
And do what?
Just open up a hell mouth and just the humanity just get destroyed. Mm-hmm. Even go big.
But yeah, that's Tomino's Hell. You got another story? Oh, do the.
Oh, yes. Let's do this.
Prince Harry.
Yes, we're going to talk about Prince Harry, guys. I'm starting to like this dude more and more. Hold on.
Not just for his looks?
No, not for his looks. He does like have nice red hair, though.
That ginger hair.
Yes.
Ginger red.
All right, so we're going to talk about... we're going to switch up a little bit. Nothing scary. Actually, this is going to be more of a nice story.
Yeah, cute nose.
Little button nose. Yeah. All right, so this is an article I stumbled across randomly the other day. It says, Prince Harry says psychedelics are fundamental with dealing with his past traumas. All right, says the Duke of Sussex is getting even more candid about how certain drugs have helped him work through his trauma. Now, anybody who knows anything about Prince Harry in the recent years knows that he's just a dude that happens to be born in a psychotic royal family that has a history of incest and conquering other nations and trying to control shit. I think his whole family is full of psychopaths and racists, and I'm glad to see him stepping out the bounds. marrying himself a black woman and having half black babies. This man is separating himself so distant from his family. And the book he's put out recently called Spare, which I haven't read yet, but my mom is reading it. And my girl, I think, is still currently reading. She's actually still currently reading right now. That you start to see, like, hey, man, he's going through a whole lot of shit in his life to where he, as an adult, he's realizing, like, this shit was not healthy for him. It was, and it's been detrimental to him as a person, as a whole. I even remember when my mom told me about his book, Spare, that there was one point in the book he talks about the first time he felt like a real person or treated as an equal was when he was in the military. Where
I didn't even know he was in the military.
Yeah, he got like over 100 some confirmed kills. He was like a helicopter, like, oh my fucking God. He's like on a helicopter shooting people. He was racking up all types of kills in Iraq and shit. Well, I think it was Afghanistan. But he has like a shit ton of kills. He's like, he's the first prince in many, 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 many generations to actually fight in a war. Because before that, it's like, prince is like, hey, I'm going to stand behind my dad and just chill at the castle or whatever. But
who was he shooting?
This is like Afghanistan. So it's like Middle East.
And they were the bad guys?
Hey, look, they, Jesus. Probably Christ. Not. Probably not how that war went down. And like, probably a lot of innocent people. But
like, hey, we just trying to get some bread from like the corner store. And fucking Prince Harry. Come on.
But yeah, because when you go in the military, they strip away your identity. You're no longer Billy Waters when you go in. You're
Billy Warzone.
You're Sergeant. Sergeant. You're like Airman so and so. Or actually, not even Airman. You're like trainee.
I'm a number.
You're like you're a number. And usually, your numbers are like your last four of your social and your last name. And like who you are as a person is done. And that's their whole job is like
Billy 6969.
Just 69 all the way. We got to scrub all that shit off.
Yeah, yeah.
You're now what we want you to be. And you need to be a cohesive unit. So when you go to the military, it don't matter what the hell you were before. This is what you are now. And everybody. Like if anybody's ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket, Gunnery, the drill instructor in the movie, said, "I don't care if you white, an N word, you Asian, or this, that, and a third. When you get here, you guys are all maggots, and you guys are the same thing. So it's kind of like you down at the low level, and we're gonna build you back up. Don't matter what you were before." And so he talks about his experience in the military of like, man, they didn't care if he's a prince. Like you are now, so and so and so and so. I think it's like Winsgate is like his last name. Wingate or something like that. Like you are this now, and you don't care.
They basically break down your whole character.
Yeah, but it made him
build up until that point.
But it did make him to like a person where he's like, "Holy shit! Like this is the first time I felt like a person like that.
Yeah, like treated like normally. Like,
yeah, which is crazy because military is kind of I don't know.
Like, hold on, you're not gonna tie my shoes for me? Thank you. Just rolled out of bed.
Yo, appreciate it.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me get to this right quick. It says, okay, so.
Tier 1 for 6 months in advance? Jesus Christ.
What happened?
That sounds a lot.
Oh, man. Yes, it is.
You got like a real life subscriber.
It says on Saturday, Harry participated in a film conversation with trauma expert Gabor Maté to discuss a wide range of topics covered in his memoir, which is basically his book Spare, right?
Included, so like a memoir is like something you write about yourself or somebody that writes it for you.
I guess it's like you will tell your story to somebody who then they kind of
So like a memoir is someone that tells your story and like an autobiography.
But it's got to be your words.
Autobiography is you telling your own story? I forgot which is which.
Memoir, I don't know.
Alexa, what's the definition of a memoir?
The noun, memoir, can have a few meanings. One, a record of events written by a person having intimate knowledge of them and based on personal observation.
So somebody that's writing their story.
Super close to them, I guess.
Personal life and experiences. Autobiography. Three, the published record of the proceedings of a group or organization, as of a learned society. Four, a biography or biographical sketch.
Alexa.
We got it, baby.
That's enough.
We got it, baby. We got it, baby. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
that's
you.
Enough.
Yeah, so like a memoir would be like somebody that writes your life story.
That you would probably tell them like in confidence, like one-on-one type of, let me get your story in. Yeah, like I've seen it sometimes in movies too, like, people be like, I want you to tell my story, but be by my side throughout my everyday life and just follow me everywhere, shadow me, and throughout the day I will tell you.
Like Kanye.
Yes, yeah, yes. That's some Kanye shit. I'm gonna tell you my legend. So it said, he shares that he's experimented with cocaine, marijuana, and psychedelic drugs.
That's why he's a real ass dude.
And that he felt that the latter two, which is the marijuana psychedelics, had genuine positive effects on his well-being. Mm. He also goes on to say this in his discussion with Mate. The Duke describes the feeling of psychedelic use as the cleaning of the widescreen, the removal of life's filters, these layers of filters.
That's a deep, very good way of saying it.
The best way you could probably put it.
The removal of life filters. I've never heard anybody spoke about it like that.
I got chills when I read it earlier. I was like, oh, I felt that. Like, just move every filter gets dirty and nasty. You got to clean it out.
Or just like, hey,
take it out together.
Take the filter out, and then you see, like, hey, what is that drain actually? What is in the drain water?
Yeah, what's going on?
The
filter's kind of like the blockage. I need to get into the filter's
like bloop, bloop, blocking everything. Like, everything cleans out, but you don't even know what's in the drain water in the first place.
You gotta get deeper.
But it's going through you, though. This is your water.
Because it sounds like his filter was like, and this is everyone, I feel like.
He's being lied to, like, a lot.
Yeah,
for sure.
Or, well, maybe.
That's like the filter.
Or actually, he knew the truth of a lot of stuff. And he just kind of like just ignored it. And you kind of like create a filter in your brain and kind of you don't want to acknowledge it.
Yep.
And so you
personally create like that block.
That mind, the wall in your brain.
Actually wanting to know like the truth and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know like there's more to it. So then I'm guessing like when he did take that psychedelic trip, it removed all
that filter out.
They're like, hey, look at the real shit that's going on, dude.
The filter that you built for yourself, we gonna take it out for a little bit. You need it. Everyone needs a filter, but
snap back to reality.
Yes, but right now we're gonna take the filter out and
there goes gravity.
Oh, there goes gravity.
Yeah.
This is
that's crazy.
Says it removed. And this is what Harry was saying too. He says it removed it all for me and brought a sense of relaxation, relief, comfort, and lightness that I managed to hold back for a period of time. Says he continued, I started doing it recreationally, and then recreationally.
I don't want to correct you because I'll say it wrong too.
I started doing it recreationally.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh man, I had to slow that down. And then started to realize how good it was for me.
Damn.
Says psychedelic use is such a pillar of Harry's existence that he calls it one of the fundamental parts of his life that changed me and helped me deal with traumas and pains of the past. He also shared with Mate that he has been diagnosed with PTSD, making him an informal test case in ongoing studies as to whether psychedelic drugs can be helpful in treatment of mental health disorders.
So you hear it like from somebody like
the upper class man,
Prince, like talking about a psychedelic
trip. This ain't like no low bottom type of like little man. I'm trying to get high type shit. This is
he's not even on our level. Like he's like. If you look at like a Prince, right, you put him in a different standard. And when like a Prince like that, he's talking in that level of like where he comes down like to humanity and saying, hey, like this drug is like something that's actually really life changing to where he actually experienced like something that's like just beyond like what he could even describe in words and how much it affected his life and changed his life. Yeah. Like anybody can look at that and be like, hey, there really might be something to this whole psychedelic movement. Like, if, like, the fucking Harry is talking about it, like, this is a Prince Harry. Like, come on. He has, like, if you think about it, like, why would they even do any type of drug like that? Like, to where it would alter, like, your perception of reality and stuff. But he actually came out of that trip talking about something, like, more profound and something that's really life-changing. There's nothing crazy at all. Like, it's basically getting to the core of, like, the issues of what he's having, like, as a human, you know, a human experience. Mm-hmm. And then him being his stature of, you know, being a prince and shit, you should take that serious.
As a prince, too, who has access to, like, he's got money and access to, there's no drug on this world that he can't get his hands on.
Right.
Like, but psychedelics is one that he settles down on, like, and marijuana. Like,
and then he speaks so highly about it. And then you got to, like.
He even said, like, I did cocaine, but that wasn't for me.
When he said cocaine, I was like, hey.
So, but
you're a real ass dude for that.
But that might have been like an error. And I feel like when it comes down to a lot of things, people that want to try drugs or any type of vice, it's like they try to find like an escapism a lot of times.
Right.
And most whether times. Most times it's like an escapism. And for him, it's like, I did cocaine and it didn't work for me, but marijuana and psychedelics were like the two main things that like, it didn't make me violent. It made me think more, I guess, or just kind of.
Yeah, it really do make you think about like like your base life here.
Sometimes it makes you sick to your stomach. You're like, oh my God. Especially when you start going down memory lane with nostalgia shit.
That memory lane shit's crazy.
It's so cringeworthy, but it's kind of like, this is what I did.
It's so crazy. This stupid shit. Dude. Like when it actually fucking takes you, it snaps you back into like a time where you're like, damn. When you're like in adolescence and stuff. And then you go into like certain periods of life. It's like, damn.
And you'd be like, damn, this is why I'm the way I am.
Yeah, dude.
Like, this is why I am the way I am.
Yeah, that's why I was like, this is why I'm so fucking. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm so cool.
That's why I'm the coolest motherfucker out
like,
there.
Like, this is why I'm so fucking cool. Yeah, it's so crazy. That's just so real.
It is, man. It's so real. This is why I'm built the way I am. So fucking awesome.
Damn, that's so crazy.
So there's a range of definitions for what psychedelic drugs as a class refer to. Most commonly, the term is believed to refer to hallucinogenic drugs such as psilocybin, but other definitions include drugs such as MDMA or even marijuana in this classification.
So MDMA would be like Molly, ecstasy.
Yeah.
Which is like what they're actually like really using in in clinics and stuff to treat people with, PTSD also.
Really?
Yeah, they would use like Molly and stuff to treat them.
So it ain't like just no club scene shit. That's like a...
That's another thing. Like it ain't... They're treating it as like a type of like a medicine to treat like.
But the partiers kind of gave it a bad rap. This is what it sounds like. So
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, like you can use it for that too, but you can't use mushrooms for that though. It's not the same.
It says Harry described marijuana as a drug that actually did really help me. This is his words. Contrasting with cocaine, I know a lot of people when I was in Colorado did.
Was cocaine. His marijuana laced in cocaine?
I don't think so.
Just I mean, being a prince, I will take that.
To try it out. He probably did it before.
Cherry on top.
Yeah, he's like, let me try that. You sprinkled on his weed and then smoked it all.
Is that fat? Nope. Cocaine. Pure cocaine.
Go ahead, King. Try it out.
Straight from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
That's so crazy.
The contractors with cocaine, which he did not find beneficial. He talks about like...
No shit, right? That shit didn't benefit me at all.
He's like, man, that shit made me too hyper, man. It's just
one
down.
Big speed bump, like one big slowdown, you know?
I knew plenty of people who, especially when I was in Colorado, who were like bartenders. And it was mainly women that I knew that were bartenders who would like do cocaine after work. Because at work, while I was a bartender, they would do like a shit ton of shots with like guys at bars. Like, hey, I'm going to buy you a shot, sexy girl. And then they would do a shot with them.
You're going to get drunk before you clock out.
And then before they clock out, while they're counting their money at the end of shift, they would like do a line of cocaine, just like so they bounce it out. Bounce them out and just drive home a lot of times.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a man. People don't know, man. People don't know. But he says, under the influence of these substances, I was able to let go of rigid preconcepts. To see that there was another world beyond my heavily filtered scenes. That's a very good way of putting it. He's like, look, I was just trying to see like the world that was built in front of me. I was trying to find another world that was different from what was built for me.
A prince at that.
Man, you look. There's a deuce of success said, and he talks about this. I'm going to have to buy this book, man.
So wait, he's saying like he was trying to experience like a world that was
beyond this shit. Because he's like, all he knew is like royalty. And my girl told me earlier today, I think it was today, she talks about how when he was like hunting or whatever, he killed a rabbit. And I guess like they made him like smear blood on his face. After killing an animal, to be like, this is your first kill. And you have to walk around and let it dry on your face. But like, he's like a kid or some shit when it happened.
Like, that's traumatizing.
Yeah, man. Like, nobody wants to kill. I don't think anybody really wants to kill unless they're crazy, crazy. But most people aren't programmed to want to murder something or kill anything.
Right, yeah.
And these are things he had to deal with, man. But he really talked about his book Spares, a world that was equally real and doubly beautiful. Oh, man. Damn, I want to read his book. I'm sold now.
I'm gonna read it. Yeah, I definitely. Wanna see. I'm sold on it. Like you definitely put him on the map for me because I was gonna read his book before, but then I actually removed it from my cart.
Oh,
but now it's gonna go back in.
See, I didn't even put it. I never put it in my cart yet.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about it.
I'm interested. I just because it is a controversial book.
Yes, he talks about the royal family. Like,
there's like two sides to it, and a lot of people are upset with it. But then there's the other side where it's like. Cheering them on.
I'm like this. If the people in your family are upset with it, you're telling the truth. Is some honesty behind it. Like, why are you telling our secrets, man?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because, you know, they're feeling some type of way about it. Because they're like, hey, why did you tell him? Why are you telling the world about this?
His life had to be a mess because Prince Andrew is his uncle. Like, you know, so.
Yeah.
But everybody knows anything about Prince Andrew. He was on Epstein Island. That's just what we know. Ain't no telling what the rest of that family knows and does.
Right. If they're doing stuff like that.
He's like the only normal. And he has his brother, William. His older brother, William, which I even heard about. My mom be telling me about this book all the time. I feel like I've read the book, but never read it. Because my mom tells me about how their relationship was. About how his older brother, William, is more like the company man. He's going along with the program. All this shit.
It's just all drama.
And he's just like, I don't want no part of this shit. And a lot of his trauma comes too from like his mother, Princess Diana, dying. And how he thinks that it was like they was trying to kill her. Like all types of stuff, man.
You ever seen like the series with Princess Diana?
No, I heard it was good though.
Yeah, it was on Hulu. Where the girl from Twilight played the character.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart, yeah.
And she did that shit so good, dude.
She's actually a good actress. Other than Twilight.
I just saw one episode. I was like, holy shit, that's Twilight girl?
Mm-hmm. She's actually a good actress.
She killed it, dude. Like, she really killed it. Like, it almost looked like that is Princess Diana.
Yeah, with the blonde wig and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and how she acted and everything. The accent and everything. I was like, I was like, damn, that's like a high level acting right there.
Now I really gotta watch that. Cause I was like, her and then what's it, Robert Pattinson, the vampire dude.
Yeah, yeah.
They're good actors. They did good, man.
They're
like, fuck the Twilight shit. Forget Twilight. They're actually very good at what they do, man.
You know what's funny?
I like them.
Like Bob, she would send all these fucking like remakes of like Twilight's like cringe scenes. She'll send it to me like on Instagram. And I was like, damn, like Twilight, the whole series was like, is basically cringe gold.
All of it.
Like gold.
Yeah.
Like if you go back and actually watch like Twilight, it's almost like, did they troll us that whole time? Because the whole.
It's written stupid.
It, yeah, the way it was written out and how they act, I was like, did they know they're making like, you know, something like a movie like this where it almost like they're purposely making like a cringe movie.
Yeah, and
it's so crazy.
It's like they was aware of like, wow, this movie's kind of dumb.
Like, were they aware like they were making a movie like that?
I did hear that Robert Pattinson, he never liked being in Twilight from jump. And also too, when you see his movies after Twilight, he's more of like, and he's British too, so he's like really more of them like probably classically trained actors that really take this shit seriously.
Right.
And probably saw like Twilight's like, look, I'm just trying to get my name in the door, get name recognition. And it worked. I mean, he's like, but even though he did Twilight, he does like,
Known for that.
And he's still known for it, man. Yeah. And he's done movies after that was like under the radar that was like good. I think Batman's like the next biggest movie he did after Twilight that made money in the theaters. But he just seems like, you ever seen the movie Lighthouse?
No.
Movie's crazy as shit. I thought I was losing my mind watching that movie. It's like these two dudes, it's him.
You know, he's in Harry Potter too.
Yeah, he was my favorite character in The Goblet of Fire when I first read the book. Cedric Diggory or something like that. I think that was his name. Cedric?
I don't know.
I think that was his name. Right, yes. But he was my favorite character in the book, but yeah, he was in that. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know until like the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, hold on, this is Twilight guy?
I used to fuck with Harry Potter back in the day, man. I really liked Harry Potter. It's good. But yeah, no, so yeah, but Twilight was one of the movies where it seemed like those two really just wanted to get their names out there. And now they're kind of like stuck with this bad movie behind them. But they're actually really good.
So good. Yeah,
they're so good. Like, they're good.
Yeah. Especially like that girl too. Like I know a lot of people like they threw her under the bus as acting like as one of those people that act like they don't really have no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like when she played that character, it was like,
hey. No, she's like just a pale chick with no emotion.
They made a meme about her like happy, sad, mad, or whatever, and it's all like the same face. I was like, damn, like they're doing her.
I blame that on the director. That's the director's fault, right there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure like her playing that role, she had a, you know, like she had to prove to like the world, like, hey, yeah, I'm a way better actor than what you guys think I am. So once you play that role of Princess Diana.
She's like,
fucking blew that shit
I'm gonna
out of the
explode
water.
All over the screen.
Yeah, she's like,
I'm gonna show y'all what I'm really made of.
Come at me, because like she fucking destroyed that whole role. Like, she did really good.
I saw a picture of her with the Princess Diana wig on. I was like, yo, she kind of looks like her, man. Oh,
she looks just like her.
I didn't hear the accent or anything.
Scary, yeah.
I haven't heard no accent or anything, but I saw a picture. I was like, hey, man, you gotta, gotta take a second look at it. I was like, oh, this,
yeah, I was like,
that ain't Princess Diana.
Right. Almost. I was like, it looks just like her. And then on top of that, like the way she was acting, I was like, damn. I was like, that's the fucking Twilight girl? I was like, to me in my head, like, I don't know her acting career. All I just said was like, damn, she came a long way.
She did another movie. I think it's called Underwater. It's kind of like the movie Aliens, but it's like underwater. like alien, like the movie Aliens franchise in space,
like Atlantis.
It's like, yeah, but it's like a creature that's like wiping out the entire like undersea crew type shit.
Like a mermaid.
I've only seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen the whole movie, but the parts I saw, she's the main character, the heroine. But this is man, it's like a survival horror movie type shit.
Take him out by the ankles.
Yeah.
I gotta take a leak real quick, but when we come back, we're gonna finish it up with one last story. All unless right. You got another one.
I'm done.
All right, so one more story, and we're gonna end the show. All right, and we're back. All right, so last story of the night, the Midnight Game. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
All right, so the Midnight Game is like a ritual or a game that is said to have originated from a pagan ritual used as punishment in medieval Europe. In the game, participants are supposed to summon a supernatural entity known as the Midnight Man. By following a set of instructions that involve candle lighting and drawing specific symbols on a piece of paper, the game involves turning off all the lights in the house and walking around with a lit candle, and while avoiding the Midnight Man, who is said to appear like after like midnight. And they said like the goal of the game is to survive until 3:33 a.m.
This is a game?
Yeah, it's like a game that I guess people play in other countries where they try to summon like this Midnight Man doing whatever rituals that they do, and then basically try to avoid him before 3:33 a.m. when he clocks out.
So you just run around your crib like
try not to be caught.
So there's like a specific time you have to like summon him? I'm assuming at night when it's night.
But. Yeah, like at night. But like what they were saying, like, you know, they were using like walking around your house with a candle and shit.
It must be at midnight. His name is Midnight Man. So probably you got to survive for 3 hours.
Or... He comes out at midnight. Mm-hmm. He's like, beep. I'm here. I'm Midnight Man.
Ding dong. Where them kids at?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so you just run for your damn life and...
Basically, like, this is one of the games where I've never heard of this game before.
Ever. I've never heard of this.
If I hear Midnight Man, I'd be like, that's a joke.
When I heard of Midnight Man, I thought of Day Man. Oh! You ever seen like...
It sounds crazy, though.
From Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. This dude named Charlie on the show, he wrote a play one time. It's called Day Man. And his main nemesis was the Night Man.
Damn.
I don't know. You gotta watch the show, but they got like it's like a musical he wrote in one episode. It's called Day Man. That's what I thought when you said Midnight Man. That's I'm like, oh wild. Shit. Okay.
Yeah, so like they said it's important to note that the Midnight Game is not a real game.
Oh, of course.
It is not recommended to attempt it. But then they say the game can be dangerous and potentially harmful to whoever attempted.
This is like back in the day when... This is
crazy. Like, it says, like, it is important to know that the Midnight Game is not real.
It's not real.
But the game can be dangerous and potentially harmful to those who attempt it. It's like...
Why?
What are they saying, man?
It's like back in the day when that poor story where that boy... Powell drives his sister and killed her.
Damn.
Because he watched wrestling. Mm-hmm. And so like the formerly known as the WWF started doing disclaimers before every episode of like Raw and SmackDown. Was like, hey kids, don't try this at home. Wrestling ain't real, but don't try it at home. Don't hurt nobody. It's like,
right.
So if it's not real, what are you trying to mix message as? Like, what are you... So, should I Stone Cold Stunner my sister or not? Like, what are you trying to tell me? You telling me mixed messages, man. It's like what it is now.
It's kind of like what they're saying.
It's like, it reminds me of wrestling back in the day. It's like, yo,
like,
don't try this at home.
It's not real, but it can potentially be harmful if you attempt it. I'm like, what is this?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are y'all trying to play games?
Additionally, summoning supernatural entities can have negative like psychological effects and may be dangerous for those who have like persisting mental health conditions.
Mm.
So saying, you know, like you are even actually trying to conjure something like an entity, like if you are having an existing mental issue.
Oh, you're susceptible.
It's just going to be like heightened.
Are they going to go for you first?
But you know, like according to record, like with like the whole mental institute stuff, like all that, like, according to that shit, it's not real. Like, whatever, like, mental issue, like, if you're seeing shit, it's not real. Like, if you have a schizo, it's not real.
Right.
Because it's not based on scientific fact that you're actually seeing something. So, if you, right, you have a schizo and you're seeing shit, like, you, in your reality, that shit's real. Mm. But if you go to a doctor, they'd be like, you just got schizo.
Oh, they're gonna classify it to, like, some real, real shit.
Yeah, they'll be like, this guy is just having hallucinations.
That's when you go see the priest.
Yeah, but what if you're actually really seeing something going down?
They're gonna die unless you with some human shit. No, I need an exorcism. They will
lower you down. They'll be like, you ain't seeing shit. You're just making up stuff.
Take these pills.
You're hallucinating. We're gonna lock your brain down. Here's some like.
Electrotherapy.
Antidepressant, right, where they suppress a lot of your feelings and shit to where you can't see. You can't. Yeah. Hey, the demons are gone. Like, oh, thank God. Let me get another pill. But at what cost, right? You end up losing like a lot of like your own functionality. Your
identity, man.
Yeah, you end up losing your identity, basically.
You're now a robot. You
forget about yourself and shit. And then, I don't know. You just become basically you become a robot.
You're a robot. You ain't gonna. Yeah. You just.
You don't chase your dreams no more because what dreams? They're locked up.
I'm a drone. I just want to coast through life. I don't know. I don't want to feel anything.
That's why I was thinking like with like autistic people. I was like, it has to be like something like far greater. Like what's happening with like autistic people. Like, you know, like how their brain works. It's so different. But then on top of that, it's like it's at the point where you really can't even like guess like what is actually exactly like going on with the brain, like if it's in at an intelligent level as like a genius, mm-hmm. or if it's like an intelligent level of like a crab.
Yeah.
But like the way they're thinking is, it's like beyond like comprehension
of what we can really
like say. Some of the autistic like kids, you know what's crazy? Like this is actually autism month, like autism like awareness month.
Mm-hmm. Oh really?
Yeah, and like at work, like here on the intercom, where they actually like what they did that was cool at the station was they had like people like who was autistic. They were doing like the radio.
Oh.
They were doing like the radio stuff like, hey, like if you're carrying like baggage, like make sure you guys don't use the escalator. And I was like, hey, like when I'm listening to it, I was like, this sounds like a real person. Mm-hmm. You know, because they have like emotions. They're like, and enjoy your day. Have a safe day. I was like, oh, that don't sound like a robot. It sounds like a real person.
This is real people, man.
So they had like, to me, when I first heard it, I thought it was like a bring your child to work day. Because I didn't know any better.
Who put that kid on the mic?
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's a kid on the mic. But it's actually it was actually like autistic kids. And
that's sweet. I like that.
Yeah, and they did that throughout like the whole weekend, and then they had them. It was like a whole bunch of different like autistic kids that I guess they did like the recording of them. Because mm-hmm. I was thinking, I hear all these different voices. I was like, are they putting these kids like through like a full shift?
Yeah. Because
you would hear them like throughout the whole shift. is it autism like awareness, or are they aware that they can use these kids to
slave labor?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Got them on the clock.
I'm pretty sure like it was like an audio recording. But it was cool like to have like autistic kids like you know, like they out of their element, and they're out there like on the intercoms and stuff.
Yeah,
hear them throughout the stations.
I remember I don't know how many autistic people I've met in my life, but I know the one I never forget was I used to work at this store called Big Five, like this sporting goods store,
like Sports Authority.
Yeah, but it's like low tier.
Yeah,
it's like
Five Cocks.
Five Cocks.
What's the name?
Five Guys.
No.
That's a burger place.
It's another one. Like a sporting store, but it has something to do with cocks.
Hey, I ain't never heard of this store. I don't know what kind of activity this is.
Bad cock? I don't know.
Bank.
I forgot.
When I used to work at the sporting goods store.
Hey, Katie Long's in the house. What's good, Katie Long?
You always show up at the last second, girl.
Who doesn't have a mental issue?
We all do. I read something the other day saying
we're
that
all broken.
Everyone has a mental issue. It's just some are worse than others. It is true.
Perspective is key, though.
It is. Perspective really is key. When I used to work at Big Five, I met this dude. Well, not I met this dude. My boss at the job, he had brought his son to work one day. Like, you know, his wife and his son to introduce
Dick Sporting Good.
Dick Sporting Goods. Cock Sporting Goods.
I like Bad Cock or
thank,
whatever.
Thank you, Intrigue. I appreciate that.
Not as Katie. Oh yeah, Intrigue's like Dick Sporting Goods.
I was called like Big Fat Cock Sporting Goods. Some with penises. But
dicks. Something to do with dicks, right? That's wild.
You was close though. You was very close. Yeah, using the ball. Yeah. Using the ballpark. No pun intended.
I was on the edge.
Okay. Katie Long says y'all need to have the show later. It's difficult sometimes. We used to do it at 7. I think originally we had it at 7, and maybe we changed it to 6. That was a while ago though. But no. So like when I used to work at Big Five Sporting Goods, my supervisor, my boss, actually brought his kid in and his wife into work one day. And it was cool to meet them and all that. But he always told us like how his son had autism and how his son would always wear like no matter what time of year it was, mm-hmm. he would wear like gloves.
Yeah.
Like doing remember, like wearing jackets and shit. And he didn't like physically touching anything. But when I met him, he was like the nicest kid though. But he had a jacket and the gloves on, and it was like fucking like June or something like that. But he always told me like he's like, yo, my son is very smart. Like he'll like play a video game and he'll see like he'll look at the screen and realize, hey, there's a glitch right there. They need to fix that. Da, da, da. But my brain and eyes can't see it. But he could see like where like things wouldn't work in a video game. And he's very good with machines and video games and that type of stuff. And
yeah, like he's able like to break down like the whole code of the game or whatever, like in real time.
Yeah,
like to me. It's wild. I feel like sometimes I do have like autism, but I feel like I feel like I'm like selective autistic and shit sometimes, because I feel like sometimes like I am kind of like autistic sometimes, and other times like I feel normal, but that's why I was thinking like, do I have like selective autism? Is that even a thing?
I think you're a very gifted person. I always think about like how you are and when you apply yourself to things. And I'm like, fuck, you make me feel lazy a lot.
What?
You apply yourself to so much shit. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, Billy seems to like have a focus and a goal and sticks to it until it's done. Well, I'm kind of like, I'll get back to it later type attitude. but I've always admired you on your drive and a lot of stuff, man.
Man, you pull my heartstrings.
No, real shit. Real shit.
Trying to pull my heartstrings.
No, ignore the cameras. But really, no, I've always noticed that about you. Like, holy shit, you are, man, you have like a drive about you. Like, every week is something new, and I'm like, holy fuck. I'm just like, I'm kind of like on a path. I'm like, I'm fine with this path. But you're always reaching for something new. And I respect that, dude.
That hit me in my heart zone, man. Yeah. I don't know how to, like,
No, you ain't got to say nothing back about it, man.
I don't know how to react to it.
But I've always known that about you.
I feel it, yeah.
Katie Long says, how do you get dick from Richard? Still baffles me. Funny story. My full name is Christopher Richard Jones.
Oh, even I didn't know that.
Really?
I didn't know your middle name was Richard.
Oh my God. I've heard you since like fucking ninth grade. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't know, man.
My middle name was Richard. And when people find out my name was Richard, especially when I was in the military, they would be like, hey, what's up, Dick Jones? Big Dick. I'm like, what's up? Like, you just like to accept it. When you're a kid, you hate it. But no, I was named after my uncle, my Uncle Ricky. Richard Campbell was his name. Mm. I was named after him.
Had no idea. Learn something new every day, huh?
There you go. Intrigue 90 says, some kids with autism have a fear of germs. Yes.
Dude, yes. You know what's crazy about me? I wash my hands fucking all
I'm
the time.
I'm doing it more and more the older I get. Yeah. I'm like constantly scrubbing this dry my hands. I got to chill out with that.
Yeah, I wash my hands so much. That's why like I have like a lot of paper towels in my pocket, because you know when I wash my hands, like I feel bad because I use paper towels a lot. I was like, all right, let me just... Subconsciously, I save them in my pocket, you know, just so I can feel like I'm not wasting paper towels.
Yeah.
And they make fun of me all the time about that. Like with Jeremy and stuff. Like,
you got napkins in your pocket?
Even like when, like when the last time I've been there, like they're like, hey, Harold, you got napkins in your pocket? I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, remember
like, give me a day off.
Like, you are the napkin guy.
Yeah.
And you know what the thing is, too? I'm starting to become that way too. I'm starting to find paper towels in my
pocket. Oh, see?
I was like, shit, I got to start hanging out with this dude. Like, I'd be in the car
See, that's what's crazy.
I'd be in the car, but like, I'm like, I got a paper towel, put it back in the pocket.
I know I have some paper. Yeah.
God, I feel like we're going to be the old guys that get handkerchiefs.
Oh.
That's going to be us.
Yeah, I would like a legit handkerchief.
Just like, blow into it. Just wrap it up
in my last name on it.
You're right. Waters. Yes.
Waters.
Waters.
Waters. Kate Long says Captain Planet was the shit. He's just one of them planeteers. The power is yours. That was like my show back then. I like that dude from India. Heart.
Oh, Mati.
Yeah.
No, don't ask me how I remember that. It was Indian. Was he Indian? Native American?
Or? Indian.
Okay. He was at Kwame. Oh, man, I'm about to go down the list of names, man. Kwame was Earth. He was from Africa. Wally was the white boy from America with fire. He likes to fucking burn shit down. The Australian chick was shit.
I know the Indian guy was Heart.
He was Heart. That was Heart.
Yeah.
He was Heart. The white chick had like water. The Asian girl had air.
Wind, fire.
Wait, was it the other way? I can't remember, but whatever. Yeah. I used to watch that a lot, man.
But yeah, that's the Midnight Man.
Trick 90 says, they say when you meet someone with autism, all you did was meet one person with autism. There's so many different variations, and no one is the same. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah, like...
It's very broad. It's very,
like,
very broad.
People with autism, like, they have, like, these skills that you would even imagine, like, a human to be able to, like, hold, like, this type of skill. Like, for example, like, someone who's able to have, like, the real... You know, like the people that can see like a photo, right? And can remember everything in that photo.
Oh, photographic memory.
Photographic memory. So some of these people with like autism, like they have like photographic memory, like down to like the T. So they will look at like, for example, I know this video, you guys probably already seen it. It's like somebody who saw like the whole skyline of like New York City, right? And then he was able to
Drew all of it.
Drew every single detail, like just from a photographic memory of the whole like New York City skyline.
I implore everybody to look. I don't know if did you send me that video or something, but no. I remember seeing it before. Of like,
that's like a long this guy old drew video.
The entire New York skyline. It is amazing. It's fast forward a little bit because it's long, but
yeah,
but it shows like every detail of the buildings and like.
I feel like
holy
the
shit.
The reason why like I feel like the people like we call them as autistic, right? Because they really can't perform like as normal. Human function. When I say normal in quotations, what is normal, right?
So
what they're functioning is like I think they're at like a level of functioning like higher than the normal human being.
Specific where, details, you know?
Yeah, to where like their brain cannot, whatever is going on in the brain, their body is not reacting to it because their body's not evolved yet. So every time like I think of like autistic people, I think like they're like advanced. Like beyond like our human comprehension, but the body just can't handle the information that's being loaded so quick.
Yeah,
that's why they come off as autistic because like the body, like it's not their fault. It's the body that can't handle the information. It's like a computer, right? Like you put like a you have an old computer, right? But then you put like a graphics card that's way stronger than what the CPU can handle.
Yeah, it's
like
too much.
The graphics card is powerful. You paid all the money, but the machine cannot handle it, so the machine will work like kind of like in a way to where it's unusable.
It's almost an offset a little bit because it's
it's a huge offset where it's unusable. But you have the knowledge there, but it's unusable. So like therefore, like you look at the computer as like obsolete, like it's something like we can't put that in production. So this is the way I think of like autistic people, like they are really advanced. It's but the body cannot contain like that type of information. That's being like, you know.
And everybody functioning.
Yeah, but they're actually really advanced human beings. Like it's almost like the evolution of the next evolution of human beings. But we're not at that point yet to where like the human body can even harness that type of information. And this is like everything like everything I'm saying right now is everything that I read, everything that I experienced like myself. It all came down like to one thing. Like, because I really do feel like that might be like the truth, like with autism. Yeah, that's why like it affected me a little bit.
Okay. Wait, saw some move.
I mean, it's It's hard to say, but I wish you guys can like just step into my head just for a little bit. So
yeah,
it's hard for me to explain it.
No, Trick 90 says it's perfect. It's like a sensory overload. It's like too much shit coming at you.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And your body can only process.
Yeah, because like in that movie Dune, you can watch on HBO. Like,
I've been meaning to watch that shit for the longest, man. I have not watched it.
They said some shit about in the movie Dune. There's like a scene where he says something where it fucking like it hit me to where they're saying like. Like the true like power, like they're waiting for like someone to be born to be able to harness the power of the past, future, and present. Mm. But they're waiting for like a human being to be born that can actually hold that type of knowledge.
Oh.
But they couldn't find a human until like this one kid came out of nowhere.
Timothy Chalamet, whoever
it was. Like, yeah, whoever it was. But on the movie Dune, like his brain was able to hold past, future, and present
all together,
all knowledge, all in one person.
Oh.
Basically, this is like the Neo.
Oh, got all the knowledge.
And can actually control it, harness it, and then use it.
I heard that movie was good. I've always heard it was good.
Dune is crazy.
I heard that I missed out on watching it in theaters. I heard it was very good in theaters.
Yeah, if you ever like take any psychedelic and then you watch Dune, it'll hit you harder because you can understand from different perspectives.
All right, this is the last one we're going to read right here because I got to pee too. It says, the same thing about drunkenness. I drive home sometimes. They are smart, but their bodies isn't cooperating. Yeah, yeah. A drunk drunks? Maybe I spelled it wrong. Sounds like a fucking nightmare. What a depressing life. I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes you have the right people around you, too, and they can guide you in the right direction. You can have, you gotta have good people around you to guide you, especially on the level of when you need help on a mental level. Because toxic people will show us they're not going to help you on a mental level.
So how do you help the toxic people?
You don't help them. You get away from it. that's literally how you cure it. That avoid it. Because when you try to spend time trying to change toxic people, you burn yourself out. As I learned this recently. Mm. I learned this shit recently while I was burning myself out trying to fix things. And I'm like, fuck, this is how it is. And I'd accept it. And hopefully I still got a working relationship with them and everything's good. Yeah. But
because it all really comes down to like you.
What am I going to do for me?
Yeah,
but that's it for me. I got nothing else.
That was good. Damn, 2 hours?
Yeah, we did 2 hours. Exactly.
It's definitely like a solid 140 if we take all the breaks out.
Yeah, and then we started about 15, 20 minutes later than we did. That was a good one, though.
It's a good one. All right. We appreciate everybody
for
joining us tonight. Kate Long, Rojam, the usual intrigue.
Intrigue.
Rolled out of bed. Thank you for subscribing.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
6 months, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big commitment.
That's huge. <It's> baller. All right, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. We'll catch everybody next week. Peace out. Adios.
Love you guys.